Welcome to the Propagandist Podcast, confusion to our enemies. Ophelia Benson is on the show today. How are you doing, Ophelia?
I'm fine.
So, Ophelia is an author, editor, writer, publisher of one of my favorite blogs out there, Butterflies and Wheels. Today we're talking about feminism. I would call it maybe one of the most maligned, mocked, and misunderstood kinds of political ideas or ideologies out there today, even by people who are maybe identifying as progressive or skeptical. So I want to delve into why this is. So here we have Ophelia. She would be an expert on this. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
So maybe we should start off, when we're talking about feminism, what are we talking about here?
Well, as a movement and as something you can think of as beginning with second wave feminism in the early 70s, it's a big, huge, complicated thing that it would take, you know, an hour to define, but as just a basic idea, it's simply the idea that women, like all other human beings, should be treated as equals before the law and as a matter of rights. You can one reference point you can use is just the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which starts out by saying that all human beings should be treated that way. They should be treated as having equal rights and equal dignity. And that's that's the minimal version of feminism, and it's the part of it that you can't really do without, and yet you would think it would be universally accepted, at least by people who see themselves as educated and thoughtful and reflective, and it isn't. I had been assuming for years that it was just common knowledge, and I was wrong about that.
Well, it does seem to me odd that this is an idea that is still controversial, and not just in far distant places like in say Saudi Arabia, where they're building this industrial city to where women can work, because apparently they can't work right next to men. That would be too terrible. But we can make fun of things like that, but. It seems like here in what we would call the progressive modern West, in Europe and North America and many parts of Asia and all around the world, where we have modern ways of doing things, this fairly simple, doesn't seem like that very controversial idea has not been really internalized.
Yeah, and there was me thinking it had been, and I feel kind of naive being surprised to find so much unabashed, unashamed, unembarrassed misogyny churning around out there. But partly that's just an artifact of the internet. You know, the internet famously disinhibits people, especially anonymous or pseudonymous people. So you sort of have to adjust for that, and you have to take that into account and tell yourself, well, okay, but this is the internet, so that doesn't mean that sane, reasonable, thoughtful, reflective people out in the wider world react this way. But on the other hand, maybe it does, because it's not as if the internet is somehow separate from human beings in general. So maybe what the internet shows us is not that people just kind of get nuts on the internet, but it shows us that all those people out there in the real world, in meat space, who seem to be sane and reasonable, some of them are not sane and reasonable, and when they go home and get online, you know, they grow fangs and their eyes turn red and their ears get pointy and they turn into misogynist monsters.
Well, let's get into some specific examples here, because one issue you were highlighting in your blog, and I'm sure I mentioned on the Propagandist before, was the case of the punch Anita Sarkeesian in the face the game that was created in response to her Kickstarter project. Maybe you could sort of introduce what that was about and what your thoughts are in sort of after, with a little bit of time, a few weeks anyways, to sort of think about what it all meant.
Well, she had a project to look at the way the media portrays women, and as I understand it, this just the very idea of the project triggered instant outrage and the kind of misogynist, sexist blathering that I've gotten so used to over the past year. And she pushed back at some of it, or replied to some of it, or something like that. And there was one guy that she either replied to, or I've forgotten the details now. She refused him permission to do something, or something like that. And so, in response, he created this game in which you punch her in the face, and each time you punch her, the computer generates a change in her face, and so you can beat her to a bloody pulp, and her face on the screen turns into a bloody pulp. And my reaction to that is, you know, it's nothing if not obvious. It's creepy and disgusting and frightening that people find it entertaining and gratifying to literalize in that way the imagination of beating the crap out of a woman.
Absolutely. I was astonished. I mean, at first I thought it was kind of a hoax when I saw maybe sort of an Onion article that had gone too far, but then I realized it was real. And, you know, this kind of thing, that's obviously an outrageous example, but, you know, not one that is maybe terribly rare. You know, people who belong to progressive skeptic communities who you would think would be have a bit more self-awareness about the things they say, and yet they can come across as misogynistic as well.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, this is what I had been assuming all along, that if you are thoughtful in that sort of way, that yes, you would be more self-aware. But on the other hand, I mean, there is a split, or at least a distinction, between being progressive and being a skeptic. And this is something that has been becoming more clear to a lot of us over the past year during all these quarrels. It often does resolve to a matter of libertarians on the one hand and progressives on the other. And both sets can be equally skeptical. Sometimes libertarians can be more skeptical, at least in certain areas. I mean, we sort of know that. You know, libertarians are very skeptical about the benefits of community ways of doing things and pooling resources and the state organizing all that. So it's kind of a mistake to assume that all skeptics, well, it's very much a mistake to assume that all skeptics are progressives. And the reality is a lot of skeptics are definitely conservative and often libertarian. And they're not, you know, that's not particularly by itself, you know, that doesn't automatically mean they're wrong. But even conservatives, one would hope, can at least sign up to the idea that women should be treated as equals. But there's some kind of connection between being, you know, seeing yourself primarily as a skeptic and thinking you have to be, that you then have to be skeptical of absolutely everything, including any kind of political commitment. And this I take to be just a category mistake, a mistake about how you have to organize things. Skepticism is about epistemology, and political commitments are not directly about that. And it's perfectly possible to have political commitments that you don't feel a need to be skeptical about because you have thought about them and you have arrived at them and you are determined to be committed to them. And that's not anti-skeptical, but I mean, it is kind of a line of rhetoric with the type of skeptic that goes all misogynist on one to say that it is that oh no, you're being horribly ideological if you say things like, well, no, can we just all agree that calling women bitches is not helpful, and just for the same sort of reason, it's not helpful to call other races by insulting epithets, or to call gay people by insulting epithets. There was the skeptics in the pub in Leeds that had invited a guy called Stephen Moxon to talk, and he's semi-famous in the UK for a sort of men's rights advocacy type book about women, and I think it's called something like "Women: The Great Scam" or "Feminism: The Fraud," something along those lines. And he's not a scholar; he's a polemicist. And the women in the Leeds Skeptics in the Pub group that had invited him objected and said, you know. Skeptics in the Pub now is trying to be more diverse.
You've been listening
trying
to
make
to
sure it's not just a guy's
podcast.
Club. So
for
do you really think this
content,
is the best kind of person to invite? Shouldn't you at least invite a scholar who is examining the subject of stereotype threat? Or something along those lines, as opposed to just a guy who's written what is basically a polemical book of bashing feminism. And there was a lot of back and forth and hoo-ha about it, and the guy who leads it did eventually decide not to invite him. But it's that kind of thing. I mean, on the one hand, you know, okay, you can decide, well, let's be skeptical about absolutely everything, so let's invite a Holocaust denier. Let's invite somebody who says, well, gee, is genocide actually such a bad idea? And then there are other people who say, well, no, let's just take some things as given because... Given that we live in a world where human beings can get hostile at the drop of a hat, actually, it's not a bad idea to have some things that are just off the table. You know, genocide is one of them. Treating women as inferiors ought to be another one.
Are you surprised that some women actually seem to have internalized this kind of... I don't know. I guess I would call it women who are... who don't want to identify as feminists?
Well, part of that is because of what I said earlier, that it's a huge, complicated thing. And there are parts of it that I can understand not liking. For instance, I intensely dislike difference feminism, which instead of saying women should be treated as equal and therefore they can do anything and let's just ignore... random distinctions, turn it around and try to valorize what they perceive to be differences that women, ways women are different from men, and treat that as sort of essentialist and say that actually women are warmer and nicer and kinder, plus they don't like disagreement and they don't like logic and math, so they have what's called a different way of knowing, and you know, at the extremes, they can say women shouldn't even try to do logic and math. And that, to me, is just the worst possible kind of feminism. So there are things like that that complicate the picture, and that's part of some people's motivation for not identifying with it. But, you know, again, it's complicated, and another part of that is probably just that people have been bashing the word for decades, and... You know, there's been a kickback and a backlash ever since it started. Contra Susan Faludi, it didn't start in the 90s. It's been there all along. Feminism has always had a really bad press. So, you know, in some ways it's understandable that a lot of women want to distance themselves from the label because, you know, we can't control what it suggests to other people. That's part of the problem. And, you know, when I hear feminist... At a minimum, I just hear women should be treated as equal, but I can't control what other people hear, and other people can hear things like, like difference feminism or other things that they don't agree with, and they just aren't sure what they're signing up to if they call themselves that, so they avoid it. So that kind of thing, I think it's very unfortunate, but I sort of see where it comes from. What I don't get is women who are completely untroubled by outright frothing misogyny, and I have been seeing a lot of that over the past year, and that I don't get.
Can you give me an example of that?
Well, it'll sound awfully nerdy. I mean, it's kind of bloggy stuff, but it's people who run blogs and Twitter accounts and YouTube comments and comments on Reddit and that kind of thing, where they call women all kinds of sexist epithets, and they post ugly, distorted cartoons of women they dislike, and it's just, to me, it's just obviously, blatantly misogynist. And why it doesn't seem that way to other women is puzzling to me.
And they sort of look at it as a live and let live, a free speech kind of a thing.
Sometimes it's a matter of being so pissed off at what they take to be dogmatic feminists that that they prefer, they prefer the freewheeling kind of what they see as freewheeling, anarchic, rebellious freedom that expresses itself in that kind of thing.